Chapter 16. I stepped down the stairs slowly. I could barely make out the silhouette on the other side of the front door, and then glanced over my shoulder at the three monster women behind me, poised for attack. Valerie's chocolate-brown ears were high and alert. Daisy's fuzzy brown ears laid flat against her head, and Ryan lifted up her taloned hands in front of her. They were fully prepared to fight whoever was outside the door, but when we reached the bottom of the stairs, I turned toward them. "Hide in the doorway of the drawing room," I whispered. "Stay out of sight until I give the signal. Do you understand? It could be anyone out there, a constable, an aristocrat, or even the Duchess. We don't know, but I have to act naturally for the time being."
"Yes, Charles,"
Valerie murmured, shuffled backward and stepped into the drawing room.
"Should I answer the door with you, Charles? I am your mistress. If someone came visiting, they'd expect me to be there with you."
A louder knock came at the door. I wouldn't even call it a knock anymore. The person outside was pounding on the wood with both of their fists desperately. "Yes, but stay behind me for now, all right? If there's any sign of danger..."
"I will protect you. Ryan, you go with Valerie. Listen for our signal."
The red-skinned imp woman nodded, stepped toward the doorway, slipped her hand into her feline sister's, and pulled her deeper into the darkened room. My eyes connected with Daisy's. Her expression was serious, but fear twinkled in their golden depths. How many times had we done this before? We were always prepared for the worst, and this time was exactly like all of the others. We never knew when someone was going to waltz onto our property and threaten our lives. This time was no different than all of the others. "Ready?" I grunted.
"Yes, as I'll ever be."
I breathed a heavy sigh, shook out my hands, rolled my shoulders, and took a step toward the front door. The person outside didn't speak, but their gasping breaths were so loud it sounded as if they were in the same room as us. My hand reached out for the door handle, gripped it tightly in my fist, and I took a deep breath. I turned the knob, opened the door, and stared out into the darkness for a moment. The person outside fell forward with both of their hands raised, staggered a few steps. Daisy immediately took a step toward them with her hands raised, but I placed a hand out in front of her. I recognized the person outside our door, even if the light from the overhead lamp didn't illuminate their face. The beautifully dressed aristocrat gasped for air, raised her head, and gazed at me with reproach. "Josephine, what are you doing here? How did you get here so fast?"
I took my carriage. But Charles, that's not what matters right now. I need you. I need you to explain yourself. What was it that I saw back at the lake? How are Valerie's tail and ears real? How did they move like that? You told me they were steam-powered inventions, but they certainly didn't look fake to me, Charles. What were they? You need to tell me what was wrong with Valerie.
It was just part of the costume, I lied. We attached it with some powerful glue. Josephine's orange, cat-like eyes examined my face. Her lips twisted, and tears filled the corners of her eyes.
You're lying. I can tell. I know you, Charles. You've never spoken to me in such a tone, and it's almost as if you're condescending to me right now. As if you're trying to placate me into believing your lies and getting me to leave. I demand to know what you're doing, what is happening, and why that woman had cat ears and a tail. Please, I beg of you, tell me what you saw so that I can understand.
This wasn't the Josephine I knew. This was the aristocratic side of her that I'd never seen before. But even with her tone, she had the kindness to treat me with respect. If this had been the Duchess on my doorstep, Edenie would have grabbed me with the crook of her cane, brought me to my knees, and threatened me until I told her what was happening. Josephine wasn't like that. I already knew that, and even from the way she treated me now, I couldn't help but respect her. Josephine was my ally. I knew that, and my women did, too. But could I tell her? From the look in her eyes, the blonde heiress wasn't going to leave without an explanation. But could I trust her with this information? Would she run to the other aristocrats, or the constables, the second the words left my lips? I had no idea how she would react to all of this, and that's what scared me the most. Yes, the blonde had been kind to us and shared some of the same views as us, but if I told her, it could possibly put my women and me in the direct path of danger.
Charles, I'm here. I'm your friend. Or at least I thought I was. I just want to know what I saw, and if there's a reasonable explanation for it. Please don't shut me out. I want to be included in your world.
A tender hand rested on my shoulder, but it wasn't Josephine's. It came from behind me. I glanced over my shoulder at Daisy. The bear girl's golden eyes stared into mine, and she took a step closer.
Should we tell her? I think we should tell her.
What? Why would you think that?
If we tell her, either she's on our side or against us, and we have options for both.
Are you suggesting that this will turn hostile? I would never! I told you I don't like using my ability. It makes me sick to my stomach. I told you that, Charles.
Daisy was right. I knew that deep in the pit of my stomach, and once we told her, Josephine had the choice to turn against us or join us. But as I said before, it pained me to think of Josephine going into my machine and coming out an entirely different person. I would do it if I had to, but it wasn't like the three other times.
Tell me what? Please, I need to know. I need to prove to myself that I'm not crazy, and I didn't imagine everything I saw back at the lake. I'm begging you, Charles, tell me before I go insane.
I made the decision. There was no going back after this. I glanced over my shoulder toward the darkened drawing room and cleared my throat. Ryan! Valerie! Come on out. Josephine took a step closer underneath the lamp, peered into the doorway, and waited as the two other women emerged from the drawing room. The heiress's eyes swiveled between the two of them, wandered over their ears, horns, twitching tails, and then turned her attention back to me.
What is this? What does all of this mean, Charles? Their costumes are gone, but why are all the accessories still there? Oh, please, I just want to know what's happening. I don't understand, and I feel as if I'm about to go mad.
Why don't you come inside? We can sit down and I can explain everything. Josephine glanced between me, Daisy, and then examined Ryan and Valerie for a second time. The heiress gulped, parted her lips to speak, shook her head, lowered it, and then tiptoed inside of the door. I held the door open for her, peeked out into the darkness beyond the porch, cleared my throat, and then shut the door with a soft click.
So?
Josephine stood in the lit foyer awkwardly, her gloved hands held stiffly in front of her and her head bowed slightly at an angle. The heiress looked almost like a lost child, just as she had before on the drive of her manor. I reached for her, placed a hand in the middle of her back, and guided her into the drawing room.
Would you like some tea? Coffee? I could make it for you if you'd like, you know, to calm your nerves.
No, thank you. I'm fine. I would just like an explanation for all of this, and for what I saw by the lake.
All right, I breathed. Here, sit. I guided Josephine to the nearest couch, helped her down onto the plush cushions, and then stepped back to my other three women. Ryan, Valerie, and Daisy glanced at me nervously, but I shook my head, gestured to the couch opposite the blonde aristocrat, and smiled at them confidently. This was the moment of truth. Either Josephine would listen to what I was about to tell her and accept us for what we were, or the heiress would turn her back on us and ultimately lose her life. Ryan was the first to step forward. The red-skinned imp woman smiled at Josephine, lowered herself onto the couch, and then motioned her sisters over. Valerie giggled, despite the current situation, skipped over, and flopped down beside Ryan. Daisy turned, tilted her head, and gazed nervously up into my eyes. I sighed softly, rested my hand on her shoulder, and then gave her a slight push toward the couch. The bear girl obeyed, stepped over, and then lowered herself gracefully down onto the seat with her sisters. Josephine's orange eyes rested on my face for a second, flitted to the three women in front of her, and then her lips parted as if she were about to speak, but hastily closed. "We discussed this, you showing up on our doorstep, but I never expected it to happen," I stated. "But we did talk about what we should do if this happened."
"Charles, please. Don't patronize me. I'm not a child. I'm a grown woman, and I can handle whatever you're going to tell me, so please do so."
"I guess I should start at the beginning, then," I admitted. As you know, I worked for the Duchess for about a year. She found me on the streets of Edenheart when I was nothing more than a poor alchemist peddling my wares. The Duchess hired me to create something for her, because I'm a self-taught doctor and scientist.
What does this have to do with these three women?
Please, let me explain. I smiled. It'll all make sense in the end. Edeny hired me to build a machine, a monstrous contraption composed entirely of copper and newly discovered technology.
What did she want it for? What was she going to use it for?
The Duchess has a plot, I explained. One that she's continuing, even at this moment, but that's unrelated. Edeny wants to kill the Queen and take control over the country, something she said her family has deserved. I don't know anything about that. At the time, she barely told me why she wanted the machine or the things we would later attempt to create.
So what did she want you to create?
Edeny wanted what she called super soldiers, I told her. Men combined with crystals and stones. I didn't know why she wanted them until tonight, but that's not what matters right now. I worked for almost a year building the machine and experimenting with prisoners she sent to me from the Duckel prison. All of the experiments failed, every single one, and all of the patients she sent to me died horrible deaths in my machine.
But what does this have to do with them? What does this have to do with Valerie, Ryan, and Miss Browning?
None of my experiments worked until the Duchess accidentally sent me a female prisoner. I didn't know she was female until I lifted her up and moved her into one of the compartments of my machine. A little bit of my blood got into the machine, too, which is also an integral part of the transformation.
None of this makes sense, Charles. I don't understand.
In my panic, I threw the female prisoner into the compartment, turned on my machine, and went through with the experiment as if nothing had happened, I went on. A stray cat had gotten into my laboratory a few days prior, and it accidentally crawled into the first compartment of my machine where I kept the crystals. I didn't have time to save it or get it out of the compartment, so its life was also lost.
This sounds like madness, Charles. Please, I don't understand.
The experiment worked. For the first time, it worked. Instead of just taking a life, it birthed something new and never before seen. I entered into the third compartment, and that's when I found...
Me!
Valerie cried, threw her hands up into the air, and wiggled.
I was the first monster girl born. Monster girl? What? What is that supposed to mean?
Valerie is a monster girl, I smiled. She is the combination of the female prisoner and the cat that crawled into my machine. Through science and my hard work, I brought her to life.
But what about...
Ryan and Daisy? I asked.
Yes. Are they monster girls too?
I rested on the arm of the couch, leaned a little to my right, grabbed the edge of Daisy's bonnet and lifted it from her head. Josephine's orange cat-like eyes examined the tufts of brown fur on the surface of the bear girl's small, round ears, and then swiveled back to me. Daisy was the next. I brought her to life in my machine just as I had with Valerie. Daisy is not a Browning. That was a lie, and I apologize for deceiving you. She's a combination of a bear we trapped on the outside of Edeny's estate.
And another prisoner? You received a second one?
No, I shook my head. This one might be a little more difficult to explain. Daisy is a combination of a wild bear and Delphine Valentine.
Oh, what? How? Delphine was murdered. How can this be, Charles?
Delphine Valentine and the Warden Milton, I began, were threats to my family. I killed both of them. Delphine, first in my machine, and Milton, well, he was our alibi.
Oh, that can't be! Charles, they proved that Milton killed Delphine. I heard all about it from Liliana and Adelia. We all know what happened. Milton killed her because he couldn't be with her.
All of it was fabricated, I explained. By us. We set all of it up.
And Ryan? Who was she?
Ryan is an imp that I found while fixing your elevator, and none other than Chief Constable Hortensia Payne.
No, it can't be true. It can't be. Hortensia hung herself in her chambers. It was a suicide.
Made to look that way, I nodded. We took her corpse back to the constable's dormitory, hung her up by the beam, and stole all of the evidence against us, and then left right as the Duchess appeared with two other constables.
We made it to look like she was a harlot. We wrote letters and scattered them around her room.
But why? Why would you kill her? What did Delphine, Milton, and Hortensia do to you?
They were threats to us, I stated. Delphine wouldn't stop until I was her consort. Milton suspected us already, and Hortensia... She found out that I'd killed Delphine. There was a single shoe print found at the crime scene. It didn't match Delphine's or Milton's, but it did match mine. I came inches from death when I was suspected of Delphine's death in the beginning, and then Hortensia, already suspicious of me, showed up with actual concrete proof that I'd committed the murder.
You did all of this to save your family? To protect them? We did it to protect you, too, Miss Josephine. Hortensia was going after you, too. What do you mean? How is she suspicious of me?
When we arrived at the constable's dormitory, we found a map on Hortensia's wall with a picture of you connected to Miss Browning and me. I believe that the chief constable suspected that you were a harlot, and she planned to out you to the Duchess and the entire city.
What? You... I... What?
We protected our family, but we also protected you, too. You may not be a part of our unit, but we see you as an ally, a friend, even a sister. We wouldn't let anyone see what Hortensia had on you. We had to keep you safe.
You protected me, too? Why? I've done nothing to deserve something like that. Even if you consider me family, anyone I know would have turned me in at the moment they found out my secret.
We don't do that. We're not like the aristocrats in this city, I assured her. We would never do that. As we said, you're our ally, and we protected you because we care about you.
I could have turned my back on you. You could have done something that displeased me, and then I could have gone to the Duchess and told her everything.
But you didn't. We discussed this before in your tent back at the mining site. You believe in the same things we do, and you didn't turn us in.
How do you know that I wouldn't do it now? How do you know that I won't take all of the information that you've just told me and immediately go to the Duchess?
We don't know that, I stated. But we trust you. You're a good person, Josephine. You're the kindest aristocrat that we've ever met. You've treated Daisy and me with mutual respect, as if all three of us were equals.
Lots of aristocrats do that. A lot of the aristocrats treat men as if they were equals.
That's a lie, and you know it. You are the only one who has ever given me an ounce of respect.
I don't treat you as if you were my equal. You are my equal, in many ways. In some, I think you've surpassed many of the other aristocrats and me. You're intelligent, brilliant even. I don't know any other women that are half as smart as you are. So, do you accept us for who we are?
And what we've done?
Josephine's hands trembled in her lap, and she fell eerily silent. I knew it was a lot of information to take in, but not only that, all of it seemed so unbelievable. If I were in Josephine's situation, I wouldn't be sure if I'd believe any of it at all. Monster women? A plot against the queen? And Edeny is the head of it all? I figured that Josephine must have lived a pretty ordinary life before all of this, but could she accept all of us for who we were?
I do.
The blonde aristocrat raised her head, took a shaky breath, aimed her orange cat-like eyes forward, and spoke again.
But I assume if I said I didn't, I'd be going into the machine like all of the others did, too. Am I shocked to find out you're the one who killed Milton, Delphine, and Hortensia? Yes, but they were three horrible people that deserved to be punished for the way they lived their lives. Delphine killed and injured hundreds of her consorts. Many of the women of Edenheart didn't want to talk about it. They liked to brush it under the rug. But no one knows the exact number of consorts that Delphine murdered. Every week one of them disappeared, and a new one would take his place. No one questioned it. And even if they did, I doubt they would have done something about it. In Edenheart, men are disposable, born to be used and then thrown away. But it's not just Edenheart. It's the whole world that views men that way. Even the black market trading of men. They treat them more like cattle or livestock than human beings.
Have you worked intimately with the black market? I asked. I've only heard of it a few times. Both times it was mentioned by Edeny and Delphine.
Yes, but it's not what you think. I've never bought or sold men for those purposes. I buy men from the black market and then give them jobs in my mines. I treat them with respect, give them homes, full bellies, and paychecks much larger than any other worker or consort would ever receive. They do honest work for me, and I repay them fairly. The black market is a horrible place, to say the least. But I purchase these men, and at first they're terrified of me. They have no idea who I am or what I'm going to do to them. I take them back to my manor, I clean them up, give them a full meal, a warm bed for the night, and the next morning I explain to them the next steps. I've been doing this for a very long time. A lot of the other aristocrats look down at me for it, but it's what my mother taught me, and I will continue to do her life's work until it's time for me to pass it on to my own child.
Wait, your mother did this too?
Oh, yes. She was... I wasn't sure if I should bring it up, but my mother was the founder of a small secret group of women called HU, Harlots United. I was taught since birth that despite what society thinks, everyone is equal. Man or woman, all creatures are on a level field. Of course, she taught me never to tell anyone, but she'd often take me along on her missions, which are the very same as the ones I do today. She would purchase men from the black market or abusive mistresses and give them homes and jobs under our protection. I continued it because I believe in everything my mother taught me, and when she fell sick, I shouldered the weight of maintaining the HU. You're a saint. You don't understand how kind that is of you.
I didn't see Delphine's playroom, but she spoke of it while I was there, I explained. But I did see her bed and the sheets. Everything in there was streaked with dried blood. I don't want to imagine what horrors those men saw.
I've said it before, and I'm sure you've heard it. I don't like to speak ill of the dead, but I am glad that Delphine Valentine is dead. Many of the other aristocrats are too, but they are mainly for petty, greedy reasons. I know what she did to her consorts. She would often parade them out in front of us at parties and whip them for fun. It was disgusting, and it horrifies me to know that most of those men lost their lives to her grotesque appetites.
I want to hear more about this HU, I urged. Are there more members?
Oh, yes, more than there have ever been, but they're spread far and wide. You said that you wrote out letters to make it look like Hortensia was a brute sympathizer? That was a brilliant idea, because the HU actually only uses letters to communicate. Most of the women I know in the organization, I've never met them face to face. They're all strangers to me except for their names. Is it easy to become one of the HU? No, it's very hard. You go through rigorous interrogations, trials, and even then we never know when you could betray us. That's why we never meet face to face, and a lot of the time we use fake names. A few have tried to break through our ranks and bring the whole operation to the surface, but we're too crafty for that. The constables were on our tail for a long time, but they've never managed to catch us.
I glanced over at Daisy. The brunette's golden eyes met mine, and her expression seemed to soften. The bear girl breathed a sigh, leaned forward, and addressed Josephine directly. Valerie turned, grinned up at me, wriggled in her seat, and clapped her palms together excitedly. Ryan held her slick black tail between her hands, tweaked the pointed tip, but kept her orange eyes glued on the aristocrat's face.
So you trust us? You won't tell anyone?
I can only assume. If I couldn't or didn't, I would meet the same fate as the unnamed female prisoner, Delphine and Hortensia. I'm right, aren't I? You'd ambush me, hit me over the head, or at least incapacitate me so that I couldn't fight back, and then drag me into one of your compartments of your machine. I probably wouldn't remember anything about my past, would I?
Only bits and pieces, I told her. All of my women remember their pasts, but in different ways. A lot of their memories come from the beasts, but some of them are from the aristocrats.
I don't like remembering my past.
I can understand that. Delphine was a terrible human being. She did awful things to a lot of people, and she deserved to die.
Hortensia wasn't as bad, but her memories bother me too.
I don't remember much about my past life, but the parts that I can recall were miserable. I was a harlot, and people knew, so they ostracized me. And then the Duchess found me and threw me into an insane asylum.
Oh, that's happened to a few of our members. We don't know for sure, but they fell off the face of the earth, and none of us can get into contact with them. We can't go check on them. We only have the names they've used, and we can only assume that they've been found out and thrown into mental institutions.
Silence fell over us, and Josephine retreated into herself, stared down at the coffee table that separated us from her, and breathed a heavy sigh. The blonde's orange eyes examined the grain of the table for a long moment. Her fingers knit in her lap, and she finally raised her gaze to mine. I wanted to ask her what she was thinking, but I knew it wasn't my place. If she wanted to tell us, she would, and we would just have to wait until she did. All three of my monster women turned in their seats, tilted their heads at the blonde aristocrat, but none of them probed for any answers. Josephine's eyes left mine, her brows furrowed, her hands tightened on each other so hard that the knuckles turned white, and finally she lowered her head.
You're not gonna tell the Duchess about us, are you? We don't want to hurt you, Josephine. We even decided on it before you got here. We planned on lying to you about us until Charles decided it was the right time, but I guess now is better than later.
No. I won't tell the Duchess or anyone else. Thank you for taking my feelings into consideration, and I'm glad that you didn't lie to me. I always prefer it if you would be honest with me.
We never meant to hurt you, I uttered. And I hope this doesn't change your opinion about us.
I want to ask you something, Valerie, Ryan, and Daisy.
Of course. What is it?
Sure. Ask us anything.
Are you happy? Or are you at least happier than you were before?
The gorgeous heiress lifted her head, looked at each of my women, and then held her gaze steadily on Daisy as if the Bear Girl was the sole speaker for all three.
I've told Charles this before, but I don't like to remember the Delphine parts of my life. Her actions were abhorrent, disgusting, and horrifying to recall. But yes, I am happier than she ever was. Delphine was filled with a burning rage that never went out. It continued to consume her, even to the day that she died. Charles gave her, no, gave me, a new life. I don't consider Delphine part of me, but the things I remember of her life were miserable. Charles gave me something that Delphine never got to experience in her lifetime, and that is love. She'd never known what it was like to be loved, not by her mother, her family, or a man. And I think that's what makes the difference.
I have to agree with Daisy. Hortensia, like Delphine, had a hate inside of her that never went away. I think it was the lack of understanding, comfort, and love of another person. Charles's manner is filled with all of those things. He has never made us feel bad about ourselves. In fact, Charles builds us up every single day. There have been times when one of us speaks badly about ourselves, and Charles stops those thoughts in their tracks. He believes that each of us is worthy of being loved, even though we were born from a machine.
Charles is such an amazing man. My past life was horrible. Well, my cat one wasn't so bad, because I slept in a lot of sunbeams and chased a lot of mice. But the memories I have from the female patient? People would spit on her out in public, throw rotten fruit at her out of open windows. A lot of the time, aristocrats would outright attack her in the streets. That was before Edeny found her and threw her away into an asylum. I don't remember a lot from that time, but I know it was horrible, loud, and scary. It's so nice being here with Charles. He takes such good care of us. He treats each of us like queens. And all we did was come out of a machine for him. That's why I constantly ask for new sisters, because I want other women to experience what it's like to be loved so much by a man.
Charles is a good man. I had already known that from our few encounters. I respect him and the work he does very much. I'm glad to know all of you see me as an ally. I think of you as the very same. But...
What is it? I asked. I felt the sweat bead on my forehead, my heart hammered in my chest, and my palms immediately went clammy. If she couldn't accept us, we had only one option left. Josephine knew it, and the rest of us did too. If Josephine turned her back on us, we'd have no other choice than to end her life and turn her into a monster girl. The blonde aristocrat took a deep breath, closed her eyes for half a second, leveled her cat-like eyes at me, thought for a moment, and then parted her lips to speak.
But I only have one request, Charles. I beg you, please, turn me into a monster girl, too.